Once Jesus began his ministry, he devoted much time to healing those who were diseased, whether of mind or body. This naturally drew a lot of attention. The multitudes began to follow him around. On one such occasion, he went into the mountains with his disciples, and they were followed by many people. It was the time of the Passover, a feast time of the Jews, and no food was available. The story is told in John 6, 5 through 14. Jesus therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing a great multitude cometh unto him, saith unto Philip, Whence are we to buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 shillings worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take even a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here who hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Jesus said, Make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down. Likewise also of the fish, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, Gather up the broken pieces which remain over, that nothing be lost. So they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with broken pieces from the 5 barley loaves which remained over unto them that had eaten. When therefore the people saw the sign which he did, they said, This is of a truth the prophet that cometh into the world. This was quite a predicament that Jesus found himself in. What do you do with 5,000 hungry, uninvited guests? Actually, there were more than there. There were 5,000 men. Women and children were not counted. They were totally incidental to the world of men in which they lived. There was very little to eat to start with. How far could 5 barley loaves and 2 fish go among so many people? However, as it was distributed, the people ate until they were full, and there were yet 12 basketfuls left over. What do you think of a story like this? Do you believe it really happened? From an outer standpoint, naturally, we all know that it is impossible. Imagine what such a practice would do to our economy, to our whole credit system. Everything would be disrupted. Some have attempted to explain in a logical way just how such an event was possible, yet it simply hasn't worked. Throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are records of dramatic events. In each case, some particular need was met, some problem solved. Moses, with Pharaoh's army behind him, the Red Sea in front of him, was trapped along with the children of Israel who were fleeing from slavery in Egypt. There was no way out. Yet they prayed, were told to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The waters parted, and they walked through to the other side before the sea closed again. These same Israelites moved through the wilderness without food, yet each day manna miraculously appeared on the ground so that they could satisfy their hunger. They were guided by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Their problem was solved in a way that one would not normally believe to be possible. Elijah, after his long sojourn in the wilderness, was fed by the ravens. His problem was solved. Jesus quieted the storm and waves so that the ship he was on would not be destroyed. After fishing all night and catching nothing, Jesus instructed his disciples to cast their nets on the other side of the boat. And the nets were filled with so many fish that they could not even bring them in. In the case of the man crippled for 38 years, Jesus told him to get up and walk, and he did. He told the man with the withered arm to stretch forth his hand. He did, and the arm was restored. Now you and I know that these things are impossible, or are they? These unusual occurrences would indicate that there is power to solve problems. No matter what the need, with God, all things are possible. Therefore, problems that have appeared to have no solution have been solved. These spectacular manifestations of God's good are as relevant for us today as they were then. Anything that has ever been done can be duplicated. In our society, we tend to think that we have come a long way. Yet how many of us are accomplishing these mighty works of the prophets of old, or even the mighty works of Jesus and his followers? Jesus did say, "The things that I do and greater things than these shall you do." How many people who profess to believe in Jesus the Christ yet choose to ignore this statement completely? Was there a power active in days gone by that is not active today? What has happened to this power to solve problems? God was certainly no more active and available in the past than today, for we know that God does not change, that he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. The instances of God's power to solve problems are too numerous to have no validity. They illustrate certain principles as shown by the use of higher laws. These higher or spiritual laws are not bound by the material physical world. It not only seems likely but necessary that we learn to utilize these laws in order to bring spiritual power to bear on individual problems today. This will work even on those problems that appear to have no solution, just as did the problem of feeding the 5,000. An ancient symbol of God, the one power, was depicted as a circle with a dot in the center. The circle represents God's power expressing as the universe. The dot represents man as a center of expression within the one power God. If you look at a small dot under the powerful magnifying glass, it becomes a small circle, capable of expanding out toward the circumference of the larger circle. Man is capable of expanding out within the encompassing universal power. God is the one presence, one power, and one activity. Man is a point of expression within that one present. Make this idea personal. See yourself as a vital point of activity within the one power. With your cooperation, the encompassing universal power that is God works through you into your world. You are a center of power, encompassed by completely unlimited, unrestricted power. Thus you have the ability to activate God's power through the use of his natural laws. Jesus used these universal laws while at the same time knowing that he was a point of expression through which the very power of God flowed. Whether he was healing the sick or feeding the 5,000, God's action took place through him. What Jesus did was no less remarkable. What he did was no less a miracle because he knew what he was doing. Although we know that through our purely objective efforts we cannot feed 5,000 or heal the sick or bring about any other miracle, it is possible to live beyond our own objective efforts. It is possible to accept the truth that we are a point of expression within the universal presence of God. Then it is completely possible to function through contact with this realm which is not perceptible through the senses, and beyond that realm in which we are accustomed to living. Could this be what Jesus meant when he referred to being in the world but not of the world? Can you see yourself operating as a center of power within the encompassing circle of God's unlimited universal power? This power enfolds and interpenetrates and radiates through you when you are willing. The advice of the psalmist to lift up our eyes enables us to see beyond the outer world of appearances into the great universal power that is God. This universal power will respond to your direction. You give it direction through the use of your will. This power will operate for you. You can bring it to bear on any problem just as Jesus did. You can operate from your divine self, which is free and unlimited. So few people make the necessary effort to arouse themselves from a lethargic, passive, and inactive state. When in that sort of negative state, problems will always be greater than one's ability to solve them. A child excitedly approached his parent who was reading a newspaper. "Look, Daddy, at this project I just finished for my science class," he exclaimed. Glancing up, the father absentmindedly said, "Yeah, that's nice." There is within man a still small voice that speaks within his own being. The inner voice says, I have the solution for your every problem. I am the source of everything you can or will ever need. Man's response often is, yeah, that's nice. Mankind is paying a dear price for spiritual indifference. We simply must learn to listen. In a novel by Irving Stone, its lead character John Noble says, if God should be so indiscreet as to show himself in a crowded city, people would say without looking up, this is my busy day, come back later. Have you been too busy or else too indifferent to claim your spiritual birthright? Are you turning your back on God's love, abundance, health, and joy? It is entirely possible to so drift with the outer tide that we become hypnotized by beliefs precipitated by those people who know nothing of God. Have you any problems that seem too big to handle? Take these three steps if you would solve your problems. 1. Admit your own inability to solve your problem from a known materialistic physical point of view. Be willing to admit that you really can see no possible solution, no way out of your dilemma. 2. Ask in prayer to be lifted up consciously into that realm wherein all things are possible. Affirm God as the source of the needed answer. Affirm the ability of God's unlimited power to bring forth the perfect solution. Lift up your eyes to a God not limited by time, space, or circumstance. Jesus told us to ask and you shall receive. This is the time to ask for the perfect outworking of any problem or difficult situation in your life. 3. Cooperate with the power of God and allow it to work through your thoughts and words. Listen for ideas. Follow guidance received. Be willing to accept new development and unexpected happenings. As you see yourself as a center through which the universal power of God is expressed, things will start to happen. Imagine that you are looking into a tub of water and you drop a tiny pebble into the center of it. Immediately, you will see the ripples from the center moving out until they reach the rim. There they seem momentarily to stop, but they haven't. Before any more outer activity is seen, the ripples have started under the surface on their return journey back to the center. Likewise, every thought that you think and every word that you speak sets into motion vibrations that go out and return to you as they went out to the center from which they proceeded. They return in the same nature as they went out, whether good or bad. Cooperate with the power of God through your thoughts and your words, and you can be assured that your problems, no matter how severe they seem, no matter how impossible they appear, will be solved. You have the power to solve problems. Use it.